Welcome to our service for the fourth Sunday after Trinity. Our theme today is the beauty of the love of God in the face of Christ. And our first hymn is Stuart Townend's heartfelt response to the love of Christ at Calvary. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure.
Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing Father turns his face away as wounds that mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
One thing I have asked of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to see him in his temple.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labour, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw us to himself and cleanse us from all our sins, that we may behold the glory of the Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Collect for the fourth Sunday after Trinity. Gracious Father, by the obedience of Jesus you brought salvation to our wayward world. Draw us into harmony with your will, that we may find all things restored in him, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. In the night I saw a man riding on a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in the glen, and behind him were red, sorrel, and white horses. Then I said, "What are these, my lord?" The angel who talked with me said to me, "I will show you what they are." So the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered, "They are those whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth." And then they spoke to the angel of the Lord, who was standing among the myrtle trees, "We have patrolled the earth, and lo, the whole earth remains at peace." Then the angel of the Lord said, "O Lord of hosts, how long will you withhold mercy from Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, with which you have been angry these 70 years? Then the Lord replied with gracious and comforting words to the angel who talked with me. So the angel who talked with me said to me, "Proclaim this message. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am very jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion, and I am extremely angry with the nations that are at ease, for while I was only a little angry, they made the disaster worse. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I have returned to Jerusalem with compassion. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and the measuring line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Proclaim further, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall again overflow with prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion, and again choose Jerusalem." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sefyll hwn am artaidd wrth wychtelwn o'm hoch fryd, er mae'r rhan ar wyn adnabod a'i fod i'wch law gwrth ar byd. Hen chi'ch fore, hen chi'ch fore, caf a'i wyred fy
Second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 16. At that time Jesus said, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Wilen sevich rhwng y myrtwydd. If you'd asked me where the idea of Christ standing among the myrtle trees comes from, I would have said the Song of Solomon. But as we heard in that first Bible reading, the reference is to one of the passages of the more obscure biblical book of the prophet Zechariah. The words of the hymn were written by Anne Griffiths of Llanfihangel yng Ngwynfa in what was then Montgomeryshire. Anne was quite young, we don't know the date of the poem, but she died aged 29, and it was published after her death along with all her other works. Some of the other imagery in the poem, the Rose of Sharon, for example, does indeed come from the Song of Songs. But the whole hymn, and indeed all her work, is testament to the importance of Scripture to her and in the Calvinist Methodist tradition to which she belonged. The Bible was deeply precious to that tradition, not least because it was the text through which Welsh people learned to read in the circulating schools organised by the Reverend Thomas Charles. Another young Welsh woman, Mary Jones, is famous for walking 26 miles barefoot across the mountains to Bala from another Llanfihangel, Llanfihangel y Pennant, to Bala to buy a Bible. She was just 15 years of age and had been saving to buy her Bible from the age of 9. Here in Newquay, from that same Calvinistic Methodist tradition, we remember another young woman, Florrie Evans, just 19 years old, whose testimony in Capel Tabernacle, Newquay, is credited with sparking the 1904 Welsh Revival. Touched to the heart by the preaching of her minister, the Reverend Joseph Jenkins, she stood up in the evening meeting and said, "Rwy'n caru arglwydd Iesu Grist a'i hoch galon. I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart." Florrie had been a worshipper at Capel Tabernacle all her life. Her parents were members there. She had known the truth about Jesus from when she was a young girl. But the fervent preaching of the Reverend Jenkins had shown her that there was still something missing. That something is what the old evangelicals called heart knowledge. Head knowledge is important. The love of the scriptures in Anne Griffiths and Mary Jones meant that they knew the ways of the Lord in the Old Testament and the New. They expected their faith to be intelligent, and they were hungry for the word of God, hungry to learn from the scriptures. But it isn't head knowledge that makes you walk 26 miles barefoot to Bala. It isn't head knowledge that enables you to see the beauty of Jesus surrounded by the myrtle trees. It is a knowledge of Jesus in the heart, the knowledge that Florrie came to on that wonderful evening in 1904. Henfich vore, wrote Anne Griffiths, hail the morning. Hail the morning when first I saw him as he truly is. Perhaps it really was in the morning time that she first came to a heart knowledge of the Lord, but I think the choice of the word morning is more probably poetic and theological. This was the beginning of a new day, a new life, a life now lived in the light, as St. Paul calls it, the light of the glory of God, shining in the face of Christ. Christ, who is her friend in every moment, and her pilot upon the sea of life. And in that light, as another old hymn puts it, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. All the other baubles you might live for have no depth of beauty in comparison to the beauty she finds in Jesus. The wonderful stories of these women from the Welsh nonconformist tradition resonate with all the stories we were reviewing last week of Jesus' women disciples. They have a knowledge of the Lord that is revealed deep in the heart. And this heart knowledge leads to a deeper understanding of the gospel. Simon the Pharisee, for all his wealth and religious learning, cannot understand the gospel of God's forgiveness. But the penitent woman whom he despises feels it to the core of her being as she anoints Jesus' feet with her tears. Only Mary at Bethany understands the true importance of the resurrection of her brother Lazarus and of Jesus' tears at his grave. And so she anoints Jesus ready for his burial. Only Mary Magdalene is left on the first Easter morning, gazing heartbroken at the empty tomb, where she had hoped to give one last proof of her heart love for Jesus by tending to his body. And to her is given the first knowledge of the morning light of his resurrection. In our New Testament reading this morning, we heard some of the tenderest words of Jesus. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What Jesus hated most of all about the religion of the Pharisees, I always think, was that they made the faith of his Father into a burden, too heavy a burden for most people to carry, and then they would not lift a finger to help them carry it. But I am gentle and humble in heart, he says. His calling is from heart to heart. And he still longs for us to give our hearts to him, not our minds only, not even our willing service, but our hearts. Because it is in our hearts that the deepest work of the gospel can be done, the work of healing, comfort, and forgiveness. Come to me, says Jesus, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen.
Love. pure and free. Oh, turn to that love-weary wandering soul, Jesus, plead for thee.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our prayers of intercession today will be led by Anthea, but we begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Ein tad, honuit yn y nefoedd, sancteiddiar dy enw, dilyd y deirnas, gwneilir dewyllus, megis yn y nef, felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyroi ni heddiw ein bara benyddiol a maddau ni ein dyledion. Fel yma ddiwn innau i'n dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain i brofedigaeth eithi'r gwared ni rhag drwg, canys eiddo ti o'r deirnas, a'r nerth a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen.
Prayers for the fourth Sunday after Trinity. O Lord of light and vision, open our eyes to behold your presence, to perceive your love and to see your purpose for us, that rejoicing in your presence and strengthened by your love, we may do your will and become what you have called us to be. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. As we come to the beginning of yet another month under the cloud of the coronavirus, we give thanks for the cautious easing of restrictions. We look forward to meeting with family and friends, if only at a distance. We continue to pray for all those whose lives have been impacted by COVID-19, for the sick and the bereaved, and for the frontline care workers. There are times, Lord, when we are reminded of our human fragility, needing your loving care through times of anxiety and illness. Touch us, Lord, with healing hands and words, that we might walk together through this temporary darkness and into your glorious light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the lonely and vulnerable. Dear Lord, let us not forget our neighbours at this time, not just those who live close by, but those in the wider community who are elderly, vulnerable, and very much isolated from the world outside their door. May they know they are loved through our actions and care, and in their loneliness know your presence, healing, and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the leaders of both local and national governments facing difficult decisions every day. Give wisdom, Lord, to all in authority, not only leaders of nations, but local communities, that actions and words are prompted by the needs of others, and not for personal or political gain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As government furloughs come to an end, but businesses are unable to fully reopen, we pray for employers having to make difficult decisions regarding the future of their staff. We pray for all employees and their families facing an uncertain future of layoffs and redundancies. And in particular, we pray for the employees of Airbus in North Wales. We pray that this may be a time for new initiatives, new opportunities, and hopefully a better way of living. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, many of our church members and friends have lost loved ones in the last few months. Losses which have been made so much harder because they have had to be born in isolation, without the support of family and friends. In a moment of quiet, we call to mind all those who are having to deal with sorrow and loss. In the darker moments when clouds gather and the heaviness we feel seems overwhelming, remind us of your love, carrying the weight of so much in that cross, embracing the world with arms outstretched, that we might know freedom from the chains which now constrain us. Bring us to your light, release our burdens, and from despair bring hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, help us to learn from this experience. Help us to be your faithful people in this time of global crisis. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. In opening our hearts to your grace, generous God, may we become your goodness. By faithfully following your way, Jesus, our friend, may we live out your way of goodness. Make justice and compassion real in our lives, Spirit of God, so that our lives may embody goodness. And in the giving and receiving, may all overflow with your grace. God of love, shine in our lives so that others may see your love. God of peace, strengthen our faith to be bold in the face of adversity. God of joy, bless us as we go out in joy to love and to serve. God of love, joy, peace, and hope. May your blessing be upon us always. Amen. For our look on the bright side today, we return to the poetry of Les Barker. This is Les's wonderful reflective poem, The Verb to Be. The Verb to Be. As you walk the road of this life, never forget that the journey of 100,000 paces begins with a flat tire and a broken fan belt. Remember that if the brakes can't be repaired, you can always make the horn louder. And sometimes, on a sunny day, let the dog drive and you put your head out of the window. Never suffer from insanity. Enjoy it. And never criticize your fellow man until you've walked a mile in his shoes. Then, if he doesn't like it, you're a mile away and you've got his shoes. When in a general store, never ask for anything in particular. Never go into Waterstones and ask them to help you find a book on self-help. And never criticize the post office. One day they may find out where you live. Learn that we never learn from the mistakes of others. Try to make them all yourself. Remember that all experience is gained just after you need it. Recognize a mistake when you make it again. It is a rare man who never makes the same mistake once. And know that you will never forget that which you never really needed to know. Be sure that one day the world will beat a path to your door. You'll be in the bath. And never keep small breakable items in the hallway. One day your ship will come in. Bear in mind that double negatives are a complete no-no. From time to time, you'll be told there's no such thing as a double positive. Yeah, right. Essential oils are not really necessary. It is possible to play a harmonica by driving really fast and holding it out of the window. And remember that although the early bird gets the worm, the second mouse gets the cheese. Behind every successful man, there's a surprised woman. When you've seen one shopping centre, you've seen them all. All things being equal, Peter Crouch uses more soap than Michael Owen. And if time did not exist, everything would happen at once. One day you'll look around and think to yourself that this is the place to be. It's not. It's the verb to be. With the coming of old age, remember that if God had wanted you to touch your toes, he would have put them on your knees. If God had wanted me to eat muesli, he would have made it smell like bacon. With the coming of old age, you will know all the answers, but nobody will ask you the questions anymore. And with the coming of old age, you will one day find in a suppository in your ear. At that moment, you'll realize where your hearing aid is. And finally, as you lie alone in your bed and stare in wonder at the countless millions of stars shining in the night sky, you'll realize that only one question really matters. Where's the ceiling?